This year, as well as all of Seder Kachim, is Le'ili Nushmas Rav Yaakov Tzvi Kupietzky. Today's shir is Masech Da'erech and Dav Zayin. We will begin on Dav Vav Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Ikka D'Masen L'Ha. At the end of the previous shir, the Gemara had said that when we have a Machlokes in our Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi, that if somebody is being taken out to be executed, if he is or isn't chayiv, if he was mazik, is based on two ways of understanding regarding milva peh or milva ksuva bishtar. Says the Gemara that we have the exact same machloikis that we discussed at the end of the shir, but instead of applying that machloikis to the case of the Mishnah, the Gemara now applies it to a case mentioned in the Braisa. Ik de mas laha, they apply this machlokes to the following situation. Hayotze l'charik, if somebody is being taken to be executed, hu shah chovel ba'acherim, and while he does so, he is mazik somebody, he's chayiv. Acherim shachovel boy, but if other people were mazik him, pturim, they will not be held responsible. Machlokes rishonim, as to why. Some rishonim explain, because a person who is being taken to be executed has no value. Nezek, tzarit, they're all measured in a person that's alive. He has no value because he's being executed. The other explanation that Rishonim suggests is based on a concept that we've discussed. Gavra ketila kotal. The person is halachically already considered ketila as if he's no longer alive. What's the nafkamina between these two pshatim? Will you pay boishas? If we follow the first explanation that he has no value, boishes is not based on value. Boishes is based on you embarrass someone else. If, however, it's because Gavra Ketila, the halacha, looks at this person as if he is no longer alive, then the halacha would be that you don't pay boishes as well. Rav Shimon Elazar holds, afhuch im chaval b'acherim, if this person is being taken out to be executed, does damage, Potter, he's not held responsible. There's no opportunity to take him back to Bezdin. Because as will become very clear in today's shir, a very important rule in halacha is that once somebody is sentenced to death, they immediately take him to die, and they don't turn back. And I saw many explanations as to why. One is because it's Tzar Bal Chaim. Take him out of his misery. He's already being sentenced. He's supposed to go to his death. Another pshat, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin discusses this concept of a haftal l'reyacha kamoicha. Baror lo misiyofa. Even when we kill someone, we do it in the most painless way possible. And this is also part of not making it painful by delaying it. Another pshat that I saw is that there's a mitzvah to be done. The mitzvah of Yarta Harami Kebecha, to dispose of this Rasha. And a fourth pshat, there's a rule throughout Shas of Oisik the mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. So they're already in the middle of a mitzvah of killing this person who's sentenced to death, and they don't interrupt it to do another mitzvah of the Torah for the hezek that he made. What's the nafkamina between these two pshat, between all of these different pshatim? What would be the halacha if an animal is being taken out to be killed? So if there's a vartu tzar bal chayim, or ivarta rami kebecha, or ready a mil of a mitzvah, that's by man and animal the same. If pshat, however, is v'haftal racha kamaicha, v'haftal racha kamaicha is only by people, not by animals. Ask the Gemara, mechlal, the Tanakama sover. If we have here machloikis between Shimon Elazar and Tanakama, where Shimon Elazar holds, you don't take him back to Bezdin because he's on the way to the gallows. And Tanakama holds that he does pay for the hezek. Nitin lachzoros misis Bezdin. And as Rashi explains, it's inconceivable to disagree with this point. It has to be that everybody agrees that once somebody's going to death, we don't turn back. So what's the machloikis? Says the Gemara, the machloikis that we learned in yesterday's shir. Amar of Yosef, certainly everyone agrees that once he's on the way to execution, we don't turn back to go to a new Din Torah. And therefore, he was executed without that Din Torah. And what is the machloikis? But milva apeh, goyve mani yoshim kemifki. The machloikis that we discussed, tanakam sova milva apeh, there was no psak bezdin, so it's no more than a milva apeh, still is goyve mani yoshim. Rav Shimon Elazar sova, ain't a goyve mani yoshim. That's Rav Yosef's interpretation. Rav's interpretation is, the kulama, everybody's in agreement that milva apeh, ain't a goyve mani yoshim. If it's only milva apeh, for hocha, the machloikis between the Tanakam and Shimon Elazar is if milvak suva b'tayra, where the Torah obligates a mazik, is it k'suva b'shtar k'mifugi? Is it considered like a milvak suva b'shtar that the estate would be held responsible to pay? Tanakam is sovar k'suva b'shtar damya, and therefore the estate is held responsible. Shimon Elazar sovar lav k'suva b'shtar damya, and the estate is not held responsible. Ask the Gemara Meisve. It says in a brisa, "Hachayfa barber shusarabim." If somebody digs a bar and shusarabim, so as we learned the Masechta Bavakama, if somebody digs a bar and shusarabim, he's obviously held responsible for nafalah shor. And what happened here is that this person improperly is digging a bar, and a shor falls on him. So normally, as we just discussed in the previous year, if a shor is a shor amud and it kills a person, its owner has to pay kaifer. Here the owner won't have to pay kaifer because the shor didn't do anything wrong. Why are you digging bayrus in the shusrabim? For Harga Potter, the shor, the Baal shor will not have to pay the kaifer. Furthermore, says the Braisa, v'loy oid el shemes hashor, if the shor dies because he fell into this bar, so two things happen. The digger died, and the shor died. The halacha is, so the digger himself is no longer here to pay, because he died. Yorshei balabar, but the people who are his yorshim, chayovim l'shalom d'mei shalabalav, they are held responsible to pay the value. So the question is, if we're learning that if somebody was yoytzel l'horik, and there was no psak bezdin, his estate is not held responsible, as the Tanakhama just taught us. So here was Stira. Before we learned a stam opinion of the Tanakhama, that if there was no Psak Bezdin, that he's responsible, his estate doesn't have to pay. And here it says that estate does have to pay. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Ilah Marav, Kshama Bedin. Here it's not referring to a situation where the Baal HaBor died immediately, and there was no Psak Bezdin, because then indeed perhaps the estate would not be held responsible. Here, the Baal HaBor was taken to Din Torah, and the Din Torah said that you have to pay to the Baal HaShor the value of the Shor, and only afterwards did he die. Ask the Gemara, but that's not what it says in the Braisa. For Herbe Ketani, the Braisa says that he died immediately. What are you saying that there was time for a Din Torah middle? Amrav Ilah Marav, Omer of Adabar Hava, Kshasa Trefa. Harga doesn't mean that he was dead. Harga means that he made him into a Trefa, which has the halakhic equivalent of death, but not that he was actually killed. And there was time to take him to Din Torah and make him responsible for the Shor. That there everybody agrees that if the Bezdin already paskin that he's Chayev, his estate will have to pay it. Ask the Gemara, how can we explain that that's pshat in the Braisa? Vomrav Nachman Tani Chaga explained mes v'kavroi, that he was never taken out of the bar. He died and was buried in the bar immediately. So how do we explain, asks the Gemara, that what happened was he became a treifa. They took him to Bezdin. Bezdin convicted him, so to speak, and only then did he die. And says the Gemara, v'hilchasa v'yasvi dayna pum debeira. What happened here was, interesting story. This person was digging a bar. The shor came along, fell into the bar, killed him and died. And there's a bezdin sitting there on the side. Until he died, bezdin was just at the mouth of the bar, and they quickly paskined that he's chayiv, and only then did he pass away. That's when his estate is held responsible. So two interesting points to make. First of all, the Mefarshim asks, why does the Gemara use the word v'hilchasa? The Gemara should have used the words hachav ma'iskinon. That's how the Gemara always says it. Hachav ma'iskinon. What's the case? Why did the Gemara use the word hilchasa? So Mefarshim explained, Because how did the question begin? Because we had a question, Hilchasa, Hilchasa, we have a Stam Braisa and a Stam Tanakama. Our entire goal in this piece of Gemara is to resolve the Hilchasa. That's why the Gemara uses the word Hilchasa. But then I saw an obvious question. Taishas asked this question. It's what pushed us? Let's all understand, the Gemara's Teretz is sort of a stretch. That the person was digging, the shor fell in, killed him, and the Bezdin happens to be sitting right at the mouth of the bar. What forced us into that Teretz? Because Chaga explained the Braisa that he was never taken out. He died in the bar. So ask Taisvis, what forced Chaga to say that? Wouldn't it be much easier to explain, as the Gemara did indeed attempt to explain? He only became a treifa. There was time for a dentara. Why? And it would be so much simpler than coming up with this very interesting ukimta. So Rishayim say, Chag is teaching us a very important lesson. Here we have a person who's in the bar. He's obviously in very, very bad shape. He's about to die. He's going to die any moment. So we would think that person is exempt from the dentara. And even if there's a bezdin sitting there, the bezdin can't pass in a dentara on a person in such shape. It teaches us the braisa, as long as he's alive, even if he's in very poor shape, bezdin can still pass in a dentara. And that's what the lesson of this braisa is. Continues the Gemara. Tana banan, hayoytz laharik. If somebody goes out to be set, to executed, mazlo medam chatos medam ashamay. So the case here is that this person owned a carbon chantas and a carbon asham. We know that the main part of a carbon chantas and a carbon asham and all kabbonis is the zrikas adam. But we also know you can't do zrikas adam on behalf of an individual who's no longer alive. That's the case of chatas shemei subalea. So while he's on the way to the execution, they in the Beis HaMikdash are bringing his carbon. If he's still alive, even though he's on the way, they could still do hazah. So Taisha says, the Gemara is very specific about a chatas asham, because a oila, you could do zrikas adam even after he's dead, so it wouldn't be such a big problem. Furthermore, I saw the mefarshim ask, let's try to understand. We know the halacha is that a person who is a mumer, who's a bal aveira, we don't accept his kabbonis. So here we have a person that's being taken to execution. He obviously is a serious rasha. How are we accepting his kabbonis? So the answer is, that he could have done tshuva. He took a terrible rasha to the degree that he did an aveira for which he's chayiv execution, but he could do tshuva. That doesn't take away his chayiv misa, but he can bring kabbonis. Mazanov, so they could bring on his behalf dam chatosiv dam shama. But let's say chot the bais hashah, Rashi explains, as he's going to be sentenced, he takes a piece of meat, and it turns out that piece of meat was chaylev, it was non-kosher, ain't a skakon line. We don't postpone to let him bring a carbon. My tama, and what's the reason we don't postpone? Omer Yosef, nesh eima ananestinai. Because, as we started the shiur today, we don't want any delay. Omer Abaya, so asks Abaya, if we're so concerned about delay, ahacha fila reisha nami, even in the reisha, where he's on the way to the execution, why do we do Zrika Saddam? Isn't that going to cause a delay? Answers the Gemara, Kigoyin Chayu Zavuach Zavuach Bais Hashah. The animal's already slaughtered. The Zrika Saddam takes a second. It doesn't represent any delay. Ask the Mefarshim, we discussed in our Shurim in this Masechta, that there's a concept that Kohanim Oichlim Ubalim Miskaprim. Here, we're only delaying it, or as the Gemara suggests, it's not really considered a delay, because they want to bring the carbon. Because they only have to do Zrik Stam. But don't we have to have Achilas Kahanim? So isn't that going to add to the delay? So Farshim reply that the Achilas Kahanim could affect the Kapari even after he's dead. So they won't delay it. They'll execute him. I Achilas Kahanim. That could take place afterwards, and it'll still help for his kapara. So says the Gemara, the way we're understanding the braisa now is, that when is the halacha that we could do zrikas adam? Because the carbon is already slaughtered, and the zrik is a moment. Aval ain't zivcha zvuach. Where is carbon not yet slaughtered? My, then the halacha is loy. We don't delay it. So ask the Gemara if that is indeed the halacha. So let's understand the brisa. Ad the tani chota beis shayin is kakela. Why did the brisa have to teach us a case that if he did the avera and we have to bring the carbon from scratch, then we don't delay? The brisa could have told us this case. Lifting v'listim b'dido. The medvar mamurim. When is zrika permitted? Only in a situation that his animal is already slaughtered. Avol ein zevach zvuach. That's already too much of a delay. So the brisa should have taught us this case. Answers Gemara Hachanami Kama. That is exactly what the brisa means. But Madvar Mamurim, when is the halacha that we do the Zrikas Adam on the carbon on behalf of the individual who's being taken to execution? Only in a situation that the animal was already slaughtered. Avol ein zevach zvuach. If the animal has not yet been slaughtered, nasa, then the halacha treats it as if he only just now did the avera. And therefore, Ve'enes Kokon Lo, because it represents too much of a delay. Says the Mishnah, Hish Yotzel Horig. If there's a woman, Nebuch, being taken to execution, again, says the Mishnah, Emam Tin Laisha Taylor. We don't wait for her to have the her baby, we execute her. Very big Machloikus Rishonim. Why? Rashi explains, a rule that we have throughout Shas, Uber Yerachima. The Uber is not considered independent of its mother. And therefore, if the mother is mechuyev misa, the Uber travels along with its mother. And that's the pshat we're going to work with. The Ran disagrees, because the Ran says this subject of Uber Yerech Imai is a question throughout Shas. It's a machloikis. So he doesn't want to limit our sugya to the opinion of Uber Yerech Imai. And therefore, he explains that the chiddush here is that the mitzvah that we've been discussing our entire shir of not delaying the execution is such a serious mitzvah that even if it's at the price that this fetus will never be, Nebuch also be executed, so be it. And he says that's the wording of the Mishnah, Emam Tinan Law. Why does Mishnah add the word law? We're concerned about her, that her death should not be postponed. However, says the Mishnah, Ha'isha Shiyashva Al Mishaber, a woman that's ready in birth. And here too, there's machlokes. What does Yashva Mashaba mean? Some say that she's already on the birthing stool. Others say she just went into labor. Here, Mamtina Lacha Taylor. We wait until she has the baby. And there's a very big machlokes with Shainim. What is the case here? The way we're going to learn is that, this is what Taisva says, that we're referring here to a situation that's L'acha Gmar Din. The sentence has been given. And even though, as we've been learning in our entire Shir, once the sentence is given, we immediately go to execute. Here, since the baby's already, started the birthing pain, and we'll discuss more why, we don't wait. There are other Rishonim that say, if it's L'ach Gmar Din, even in this case, we wouldn't wait. Here we're talking about L'fnei Gmar Din, and we postpone the sentence until she has the baby. Ha'isha Shenarga, a woman that is killed, Nana Basara. We still, and we notice Allah, you're not allowed to have anor from such a person. From a here, you are allowed anor. The hamish narga, but an animal that's executed, asur b'anor, you can't have anor from a here. And the Gemara will explain how Mabay is this. There's a beautiful vart from Rav Zalman Sorotskin in his Sefer Maznaim L'Torah. Rav Zalman Sorotskin was the Lotzker Rav. He asks that our Mishnah says, whatever pshat you take, the pshat of Rashi or the pshat of the Ran, that a woman who's pregnant, we kill her, even though it means that the child will die as well. He says there's a Rashi. Rashi says that when Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Mitzri, it says in the Pasuk, V'yar ki ein ish. What does Rashi say? Ein ish yoytzu imenu. He saw that there would be nothing, no great individual, no good person coming out from him, so he killed him. So as for Mizdan al-Tayre, what's the difference? Our Mishnah says that when you have to execute, you execute. The Mishnah doesn't say we start looking who the child will be. The Mishnah says we execute. So what does Rashi say? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says there's misa b'day shemayim and there's misa's bezdin. There's a judgment by a bezdin of people and there's a judgment by a bezdin of shemayim. What is the difference? The difference is what's called in the Musa Svarim, oymek hadin. When Bezdin kills someone, if he's mechuyim misa, he's mechuyim misa. We don't look at his wife, we don't look at his children. He's mechuyim misa, When a Kadosh Baruch Hu punishes someone, we don't only look at the person, we look at his family. And does his family deserve a punishment as well? How is Moshe Rabbeinu going to kill that Mitzri? Says Rashi, how did Moshe Rabbeinu kill him? Killed him with the Shem HaMefayrish. Shem HaMefayrish is like Misa B'dei Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he mets out judgment, looks at everything. So Moshe Rabbeinu had his look for Ya'akeinish, what will be the future generations? Says the Gemara, Pshita. The Mishnah started with the halacha that if a woman is pregnant and we kill her, we kill her even though she's pregnant. Gufihi. Again, the way we learned, Ubi Yerachim, it's part of its mother. Answers the Gemara, Itzrach. Sakadat Chamina. Harvaksif, Kashiyasis Allah Balisha. We all remember the Parsik and Parshas Mishpatim. That if two men are in a fight and an innocent woman, pregnant woman, passerby gets hurt and she aborts a baby, the value of those children should be paid to the owner of that, to her husband. So we would think that the child is Mamina the Balhu, is the husband's mumin, V'loi Lifsa Deminei, and therefore why should he lose his child because his wife or the mother of his baby is getting executed? Kamash Malan, that we don't take that into consideration. Ask them, maybe Taka, Ve'machinami, maybe we Taka should wait, why should he lose his child because she's getting killed? Answers the Gemara. Amar Vu, Amar Biyachar, Amar Kra. The Pasuk says, Umeisu gam shneim l'rabbisus avlad. That we do. Ask the Gemara, V'ayami Baile, how can we say that the Pasuk Umeisu gam shneim comes to teach us that we execute the pregnant mother with her baby? We needed to teach us, Achie Yenim Shavim, that the Aloch is, two ways the Rishonim explain this. That if a man and a woman have adulterous relationship, they both have to be adults, or they both have to be mazed. So that's what the Pasuk is teaching us. Not this, answers the Gemara. The Rebbe answers the Gemara. Kigma Amrit, we learn from the word Gam. So there's a Gevaldige Kasha that the Achroinim ask. We all remember the Parsha in the Torah of Tamar. Yehuda accused Tamar of having an adulterous relationship, and he was taking her to obviously sorry, she should be killed. She was pregnant. So we see that a pregnant woman is killed with a baby. Why didn't the Gemara use that as a raya? So Rav Shulai Diskin, because of this question, says, let's look at the words of the Pasuk. He says, Hoytziyu v'sisarev. Why does the Torah use the word Hoytziyua? He says, the Torah meant, well, Hoytziyua, put her into jail until she'll have the baby, and only afterwards with Tisarev. That's Rav Shulai Diskin. Another Teretz that many Mefarshim suggest, is that we can't really ask questions from the parsha, because why was she mechuyev misa altogether? She really wasn't married. She was only Shemeres Yavam. Just because she was the daughter-in-law of Yehuda, she was treated like a bas kayin. That's why she was chayev sreifa. So we can't ask kashas from there. Another teretz I saw, fascinating teretz. It's based on a Baal Turim. The Baal Turim says that tisarev doesn't mean that she would have been burned to be killed. Tisarev means that they should burn her face. There should be mark on her face for everybody should always know what she did. She wasn't getting killed, and her babies weren't getting killed. So there's no kasha. But it's a beautiful teretz from the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma is based on this Gemara. He asks, why indeed is the halacha that you shouldn't kill the baby if the mother is being executed? Didn't the Gemara say, Ubi Yerachibai? So what was the Gemara's vart? The Gemara's vart was, because why should the father of these babies, who is the owners, quote unquote, of these babies suffer? What does the Pasuk say by Tamar? Vini horror liznunim. We don't know who the father is. So the only reason not to kill the mother, the baby, is not to harm the father. That he should have a loss. But here it's znunim. We don't know who the father is. So what did Tamar do? She sent the simonim. She says, I know who the father is. And since I know who the father is, the baby shouldn't be killed. Says the Gemara. Yashva Meshava. But once she's already in labor, then we wait. My time, asked the Gemara. Kivin the Gufa Chunahu. Once the baby started coming out, it's already considered not part of the mother. Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Ha'isha Yaitzel Harig, if a woman is being taken to execution, Makanoisa Kenegabes Arayan, we hit her on her womb, Kadesh Yom Savlat Chila, in order that the child should die, Kadesh Yadavel De Nevel, because this will make it less, because we're going to have to wait till after she dies, and the baby is going to have to exit, it will not be nice. Ask the Gemara, remember the he kod memes bereisha? Does that mean that under normal circumstances, she dies first? And here we're trying to execute him first. And of course, all the mefarshim explain, how are we allowed to kill the baby? The answer is very simple. This baby is going to die anyway. That's why, to avoid nivel, we're allowed to do that. For Kaimlon, asked the Gemara, the Vlad Meis Bereisha. We know that the Aloch is that the child always dies first. The Tanan. There's a Mishnah. The Mishnah Masechta Baba Basra. The Aloch is, Tinik Ben Yoimai, Noichel Manchel. Which means as follows. You have a child, Nebuchadnezzar, a day old, whose father passes away. He yarshins from his father. And if that one day old baby now passes away, his yarshim, yarshim from him. Says the Gemara over there, V'amam Sheyeshis, Noichel ben Nechseim, Lahan Chalachim and Av. Which means as follows. Let's say the story is as follows. His mother passed away before he passed away. And his mother had no other yarshim. His parents weren't married. So he is the yarsh of his mother. Then he dies. Who are his yarshim? Brothers that he may have, paternal brothers. They're not related to this mother at all. But because it happened specifically in this sequence, that's what's going to be the halacha. But, says the Gemara, in understanding that Mishnah Rav Sheshis, Dafke ben Yoimechad, because he was already born. Aval Uba, were he to be a fetus, then this wouldn't be that way. Because, says the Gemara, though if he's a fetus, and he and his mother are passing away, always, who my inspiration? We can always be certain that he will die first. And since he died before his mother, the halach is, Ein haben yorishes imay bekever, lahan chalachem me'av. So then he never was born, so he doesn't become the yorish that his paternal brother should yarshim him. What do we see from that? That the Gemara is assuming, as pshat in that Mishnah, that when you have a mother and a baby dying, the baby will always die before the mother. So how can we say that the baby should be killed, that he shouldn't survive, and then have to die after his mother? Answers the Gemara. Hani mili l'gaba misa. We're speaking about a natural death, so which means, as Rashi explains, the Malach HaMavis does whatever he does, we shouldn't even know from Zotzachin. I did the valid Zutra, Chiyusa, I did tip the Malach HaMavis, or Mahatach Lulusimonim. If the mother and the baby are dying because of the Malach HaMavis, so obviously this baby, who wasn't even born, he's a fetus, has much less vitality than his mother, and the Malach HaMavis has effect on him before his mother. Avon Nerga, but in a situation where it's not the Malach HaMavis, they're being executed, it's possible he may Sibereisha, that she'll die first. And therefore, to avoid the Nivol, says the Gemara, hit the Beis Haroyim. Ask the Gemara, how could you say as a fact that when there's a natural death, the mother always dies first? Ask the Gemara of the once where there was an episode of Parchas Atlos Aprochasi, the child still was jumping around after the mother died. And says the Gemara, that's not Akasha. We learned this many times in Masechta Chulin. Pirchus doesn't mean that he's alive. Pirchus just means that the nerves are still active, but indeed he died before the mother. Says the Gemara, Arav Nachman Amishmul, Hayisha Shiyashvel Meshaber, if a mother is sitting on the birthing stool, Umesa, and then she passes away, B'Shabbos Mevi'in Sakin, on Shabbos we could bring a knife, or Mekarnes Kreis, open up a womb, or Moitzenes Avlad, to take out the child. So all the Rishonim asked the obvious question. We just said that if the mother dies, the child will always die first. So what the issue that we're trying to save the baby, didn't the Gemara just say that the baby always dies first? A very big machlokes Rishonim, l'aloch l'maisa. Rashi says that even though the Gemara said that the child always dies first, When we talk about atzolus nefashis, pikuach nefesh, there's always an exception to the rule, and for that exception to the rule, we're mechal Shabbos. That's how Rashi learns Pshat. Taisa says there is no exception to the rule of the Gemara. Here we're speaking because she yashval meshaber. So the child is already, so to speak, on the way out. Under normal circumstances, Taisus holds, the child will always die. If it's a natural death, the child will always die first. So there's a gevaldig of Ramshik. Ramshik says, what do we see from here? Opening up the mother after she passed away is nivel hames. This is a question that Ramshik already discussed. It's a modern shaila. The question is, we know you're not allowed to make nivel hames. So how are we doing nivel hames here? The answer is to save the child. So why shouldn't we be allowed to do nivel hames, do an autopsy for research? Also, so he says two terutzim. One terutz, he says, there are different levels of nivel hames. Opening up the womb is not the same level of a nivel hames as an autopsy. That's one terutz he gives. Another terutz that he gives is that nivel hames for a child, for your own child, is different than nivel hames for someone else. Here it's her child that we're trying to save. That's where nivel hames is okay. But to do nivel hames for research is not acceptable. But then there's another question that the Ran asks on Rashi. The Ran asks, according to Rashi, that we quoted in the Mishnah, that Uba Yerech Imai. So if the Uba is Yerech Imai, so how could, what are we, he's not an independent entity. So why are we Mechal Shabbos? We're Mechal Shabbos for a child that's here. But he's part of his mother. So why are we Mechal Shabbos? So Rishonim say, Gevaldige Teretz. Why is there a sugya Masechta Yuma that we're Mechal Shabbos for somebody who needs a refuah? So the Gemara says, Chalal alav Shabbos achas, kedei sheishma Shabbos harbe. What is a better example than this? Yes, he's not independent. But what will our Chil Shabbos create if we're successful? There's going to be Shoyim Shabbos for many Shabbosos. Therefore, we should do it. Say to Rishonim, a Chiddush Nifla. They say, the Gemara there, Masechet Yuma, says that a fetus that's under 40 days old is not considered a fetus, even. Below, Maya Ba'alma, the Gemara says. Say to Rishonim, so let's say you have a fetus that's not even 40 days old. Are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for him? Yes. Because the concept of Chal Shabbos Achas, Kadesh Yish Mishabbos Arbe, even applies to a fetus that's even less than 40 days old. Say the Paiskim. So when it comes, Rahman Salam, we should never have such a Shaila, and we certainly can't pass on such a Shaila. If there's a Shaila of an abortion, so it could be that even a fetus below 40 days were not allowed to abort. Because he was saying there were Mechal Shabbos for him, so it's not so simple that it could be aborted. Says the Gemara. The Mishnah says that we're allowed to bring the knife, you're allowed to cut the mother open on Shabbos to perhaps save the baby. Ask the Gemara, Pshita. Why not? My oven. What Chil Shabbos is there? Mechatech Basahu, he's just cutting some meat. That's not a deraisa. Answered the Gemara, Amar Rav, lo nitzchoy lehavi sakin derech Rosh Hashanah. It means to carry the knife to Rosh Hashanah. Continues the Gemara, Umayka Mashmon, and what is that braisa teaching us? The Mesveke Mechal Lenin the Shabbos, that because there's a suffix, we're still allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? Ask the Gemara Tanina. That's the Gemara Masechta Yuma. The Gemara Masechta Yuma says, Misha Nafalom Mepoilus, a building collapsed. Safak Husham, Safak Enisham. There's a question if there's anybody under there. And then there's a question, one question on top of another question. Safak Chai, Safak Meis, is he still alive? Furthermore, Safak Kanani, Safak Yisrael, Befachin Lava Sagal. So we see from there, that Fatsolus Nefoshis, for a Safak Atsol Nefoshis, we're allowed to do anything. Answers the Gemara. Madatema, there we start with living people. So for living people, we're allowed to do everything. Aval hocha, that we're dealing with a fetus that was never born. Maybe the halacha of Chil Shabbos for a person doesn't apply. A meloi, k'mashmon that it does. Why? Either because of the svara that we gave. Chalalav Shabbos Akadesh Yishma Shabbos Harbei. Other Rishonim say that when the Torah says V'chai Behem, it's such a broad heter, even for such a situation. So the Mishnah says, Hishish Nerga, a woman that's killed, we're allowed to use her here. Ask the Gemara, but we know that you're not allowed to have any Hanor from a mess. V'amai Yisurin Nahu, so how can we use her here? answers the Gemara, Amar Rav, by Meres Tnu Sari Labiti, where she gave a directive, my hair should go to my daughter. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? Ila Amra, let's say somebody were to say, Tnu Yadi Labiti, give my hand to my daughter. So just because she gave such instructions, mi avinala, so if it's Asr, it's Asr. Answers the Gemara, Amrav, it's talking about Pei Nachris. It's talking about a wig, not her actual hair. Says the Gemara, so what do we see here? That even though it's a wig, which is not really her natural hair, only Tamad the Amrit knew, because she gave these instructions, that's why there's a halacha that we're allowed to use it. Halay Amrit knew, were she not to give these specific instructions, the halacha would be the gufahu, that a hair is considered part of a body, or mitzvah, and you can't have a no from it. Ask the Gemara, but isn't that the subject of a question? The Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Chanina, the halacha we know is a Ir HaNidachas, is a city that most of the people worship Avodah Zarah. That the halacha is everybody in the city is killed and everything in the city is taken and burnt. But the halacha, Rav Masechta Sanhedrin teaches us, is that if there's a person in the city who didn't worship Avodah Zarah, they're not killed. But that's only that he is saved. But his possession, since he was part of the city, is also burnt. So the Gemara says there, Sar Noshim Tzidkanis, you have a woman who didn't worship Avodah Zarah. What is the status of her hair? And the Gemara says there, what is the question Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina is asking? V'amar Rava, V'payei Nechris, Kamei Ba'alai. He's asking about a wig. So we see there is a question if a wig is considered part of a body or not. Here it seems to be clear that it isn't. Answered the Gemara, Ki Kamei Ba'alai Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. When did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina ask the question? The Tanoi B'sichsa. Most Rishonim explain that it's not, she's not wearing it. And that's when he's posing his question. Others say the Tanoi B'sichsa means how is it attached to her? If it's attached with a pin or not attached with a pin. Hocha the Mechababa. But here we're talking, so it's not that attached. That's why he asked the question. Hocha, where she's actually wearing it, or according to the other Pshat, and it's well attached to body, only because she gave this instruction is it not considered part of her. Were she not to give this instruction, certainly good for her, it's considered part of her umitzah. Says the Gemara. But how can we explain the Mishnah that way? Kashle Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok. Ask Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok, how can we say that our Mishnah is talking about a wig? What were the case of the Mishnah, the last case of the Mishnah? The Mishnah was differentiating between the hair of a woman versus the hair of an animal. The animal is not wearing a wig. For Hossam, for Adumi the Behemoth Tani, Ma Hossam Gufa, Av Hochanami Gufa. So how can we say that's Peshat of the Mitzvah? Answers the Gemara, a different Eretz. Olam Rav Nachman, Zumi Sosas Rasa. What makes something Osir by a woman that's taken to death? The Misa. And the hair doesn't grow after the Misa. Zugmadinos Rasa. As soon as the Gemardin. Interesting, Machlokas Rishonim. What does it mean that the Gemardin of the Behema? Does that mean that until the Gemardin it's Mutter? Or after, even before the Gemardin? Says the Gemara. So we have two Terutzim, how to understand the Mishnah. The Gemara says there are actually Brises that support both of these explanations. Tana Levi Kavasei the Rav. And Tana Levi Kavasei Rav Nachman V'Yitzchak. He had brises that support both of these explanations. Says the Gemara. Tana Levi Kavasei the Rav. Hisha Tzi Laharug. A woman's being taken to execution. Vama Tanusa Alabiti. And she says, give my hair to my daughter. Noisim. We give it. Mesa, once she died away. Ein Noisim. Mes Osbana. Ask the Gemara Pshita. Everybody knows the Mes Osbana. Ella. Shinoya Mes Osbana. What's Noya Mes? A wig. So that's the Teretz. The Rav said that we're talking about a wig, and she gave the instructions. That's why it's not Osba Hanor. But then says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasi Rav Nachman Ben Yitzchak, there's a brayse that supports his explanation. His Shemesa, a woman that dies, Nana Besara, her natural hair is not Osba Hanor. However, Behemish Shenerga, an animal that killed, and therefore is going to be executed, Asurba Hanor. ask the Brice itself, or Ma Hefresh Ben Zeh L'Zeh, where the, why is there a difference between the hair of a woman versus the hair of the animal? Says the Brice, as we just learned, Zu Misasa Srasa. And after the death, there's no more hair. The hair stops growing. Zu Gmadina Srasa. And therefore, even the hair that was there, that was on the animal, becomes Asr. Our next parak begins with the halacha that we've learned Baruch Hashem many times already of Hesig Yad. That there's a special rule by Erechin that if somebody accepts upon himself an Erech pledge, and as I said so many times, every person based on their age and gender has a specific value, but if he can't afford it, the Kohen evaluates his status. But says the Mishnah, Ein Nerochim Pachs Mesela, there's never an Erech less than a Sela, and there's never an Erech of more than Chamishim Sela. Explains the Mishnah. Ketzad, Nosin Sela, let's say a person was accepted upon himself an Erech obligation, and then he didn't have any money. So the Kohen said, you only have to give a Sela. So he gave that Sela. And then Baruch Hashem V'Hesher, he gets wealthy, Ein Nosin Klum. He already finished his obligation. But, Pachs Misela, he can't even afford that Sela, V'Hesher, and then he gets wealthy, Noisen Chamishim Sela. Then he has to give the whole 50 that he might have been responsible. Machloikas Rishonim, what is the halacha if he has less than a Sela? Should he give nothing? Because less than a Sela has no meaning. Or should he give what he has? Hayu B'Yadu Chamish Slaim. Let's say we have such a situation. The person made an erech, just to give an example, that he would be obligated to pay 50 Sela. He doesn't have 50 Sela. It seems like 50 Sela was a lot of money. But he's not totally destitute. He could afford 5 Sela. What do you do? Hayach v'yadav chamisha slime. He could give 5 slime. Ramei yama ena noyosin alachas. It's all or nothing. If you don't give the 50, you only have to give 1. V'cham aymrim, noyosin as kulim. You give what you can. You can't give 50. But if you give 5, give 5, not just 1. And then the Mishnah repeats itself, and the Gemara is going to ask, obviously in tomorrow's shir, why? Ein arochim pachs mesela. You never could give less than a Sela. Furthermore, v'lo yesa chamishim Sela. The maximum erech that we find in the Torah is for a man that's between the age of 20 and 60. And what is that erech? 50 Sela. So that's the maximum. Begins the Mishnah, begins the Gemara. It said in the Mishnah, ein arochim pachs mesela. You never give less than a Sela. Ask the Gemara Manolam, from where do we know that halacha? Which everybody agrees to. Says the Gemara Diksiv, because it says in the Pasuk, to call Erkecha Yir B'Shekel HaKadosh, call Erech in Shat HaMarech, Lo Yibchusim B'Shekel, never less than a Shekel. And again, says the Gemara, for Lo Yosa Chamishim Sola, Diksiv Chamishim. The maximum Erech that we find in the Torah is 50. Then we learn, Hay B'Yada Chamisha, what happens if you can't give the 50, but you have 5, what do you give, 5 or 1? Ramei says 1, Rabbanan say 5. Says the Gemara, my tam drameya. Answers the Gemara, k'siv chamishim, v'k'siv shekel. Oy chamishim, oy shekel. That's the only two options. Rabbanan. The Rabbanan who say, if you can't give 50, but you can give 5, give the 5, not the 1. That comes to teach us a different din. Hu l'chol erchin, shatamarech, l'yipkus mishekel dosu. That if the coin is going to evaluate, he has to not evaluate for less than a shekel. Heichid islay amakra, but where he could afford more, say the rabbanon, tasig yada neider, we look what he could afford, but yada masagis. So if he could afford more than one, he should give more than one. Asked the Marameya, however, says that if he can't afford the 50, he doesn't have to give more than one. What does he do with the pasig of shatasig yada neider? Rameya, hu yada neider, the pasuk is teaching us that when we do the evaluation, we don't look at what the person who I pledged his value, because we learned the first Mishnah, I don't have to necessarily pledge my value, I have to pledge your value. It says, Ramei, the pasuk is coming to teach us that when we do the evaluation, we go according to the person who's paying, not according to the person who I said I'm going to give his erech. Rabbanan, where did Rabbanan know that then? Rabbanan say there's no need to teach us that then. It's obvious. We're not going to look at somebody else's ability. he's not paying, I'm paying. So of course we look at the ability of the neider. We don't need a pasuk to teach us that we should look at the ability, that we don't look at the ability of the neider. What does Rameya hold? Rameya obviously is of the opinion that if I could connect an erich, erich is unique, that if I could connect the erich to you, not to me, maybe it also means that when we look at what he could pay, we should look at the neder. And that's why Rameya needs a pasuk, and Rabbanan do not.